I would like to commend you all for braving the snow. For all of you listening at home, Detroit, 12 inches of snow is not such a big deal for our members to come to us here.
Yeah, right.
Okay. Okay, today we're talking about the sensitive topic of family planning. I know I said I was going to talk about mixed eating, but I decided I wasn't interested in it. Right? My wedding was mixed. Stuff then. Okay. What? That was yours?
Yep.
Family planning is a very, very fascinating and interesting and important topic. And when I say family planning, what generally refers to is how many children should a couple have? Can there be such a thing as family planning? Is a couple allowed to have influence on these decisions, et cetera, et cetera?
Oh, the money map.
There's two pages. Now, well, there's only four. Two, that's four. Why don't you leave it over there? Okay. So now what I want to emphasize, I want to emphasize a few things. First and foremost, this is not a halachic discussion. You know, what? No, it is a halachic discussion, but the way we say it is, it's not halacha lemaisa. I'm giving you parameters and guidelines to know what the issues are that the rabbis deal with. These are extremely in-depth, complicated issues. I mentioned before, I'm only touching the tip of the edge of the iceberg on the issue, and just giving you general broad brush strokes to understand really what's it all about when we discuss family planning. Why do people, Harriet, you mentioned people jump through hoops when they have difficulty conceiving. And so I'm just going to give you an understanding of what some of the halachic background for that is, which is very valuable and important information for Jews to know. Okay? Secondly, I'm sharing with you, all of this material comes from an article that I got actually online. It was put online, written by Rabbi Shlomo Avinir, who writes a very, very wonderful synopsis. So I'm using it as my basis for many, many of the sources. And based on that, we'll be able to answer some of the questions that we have regarding this issue. Okay, so the first issue, there are really two aspects to understanding family planning. When we say family planning, what we're really, you want to close the door? Yeah, it's a little noisy. When we discuss family planning, what we're really talking about is, what are we really talking about?
Deciding when to have children.
Or, not really.
No, deciding when not to have children.
Okay, we assume, we did the wedding, we did the marriage, right? We talked about Bedekin and Kasuba. I got the sense you guys had enough of weddings. You didn't want to watch my video anymore. Right. Well, you can watch the dancing, but that'll be we'll do it at another time. And we learned about Chuppah and Yichud. And the Gemara says that everyone knows what the Chasan and the Kala will do, but it's not serious. We don't really talk about it. So, but then the next question is, what about having children? Are they required to have children right away? Is there a certain number of children that they're required to have? Is there a minimum number? There isn't maximum, I'll tell you that now. There's no maximum number. Is there a time period when they're allowed to delay? Is delay permissible at all? What are the halachic factors that come into play when we discuss these types of issues? And I think there are a lot of misunderstandings, a lot of misconceptions. So if we just have the basic tools... No, please...
Sorry.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah.
It's not a misunderstanding, misconception. I guess on that note, I will also ask you, this is extremely, how shall we say this, sensitive material. So while we joked around last week, please keep your jokes to the
minimum.
Well, not to the minimum. It's always fun to joke around to the appropriate level. Okay. As opposed to the challenge competition, which was rife with them. Okay. So what is the issue vis-a-vis pregnancy? Okay, how many children must a person have? So the first thing you have to know is that there's a positive commandment to have children. What is that positive commandment? No, that's for Avraham Avinu. Now, Avraham Avinu himself didn't have children as many as the stars. That was his grandchildren. But peruruvu means be fruitful and multiply. And obligation is on whom?
One of each.
On whom? Who? Whose obligation?
On the man.
On the man. Not on the woman. The woman is not obligated in Kurubu. We discussed this at length during the summertime. We didn't try to figure out reasons or not reasons, but it's not her obligation. She's not chayo. This is we're going to talk about how that has ramifications later on. Okay? So The first issue is, does a person have a right to put off this commandment, to delay this commandment, a puru revu? Meaning, God gave you a commandment, you're obligated to fulfill it. What right do you have to say, well, I don't feel like fulfilling it right now? That's considered what we call a bitul ashe, right? Just like you ate bread, you have to bench. So do you have a right as a Jew to say, I don't want to bench. I'll bench tomorrow. No. I mean, the obligation is that each and every time, each and every day, to continue to maintain that obligation. So you don't have the right, does the person have the right to delay or to put off that requirement? And if so, what are the circumstances under which a person could put off that requirement? Secondly, what is the base point of puru revu? You know, what's the minimum? So for this, we will look at our first source. How many children does a person have to have? Says the Gemara, okay? Mishnah. There's a Mishnah in Yevamos on page 1, Daf 61a. Samach Al-Farav. Lo yibatel adam mipiria berivia ela imken yesh lo banim. You can't stop engaging in reproduction unless you already have children. Beishameh omer shnei zecharim. Beishameh says two boys. Beishilah says zachar unikeva. A boy and a girl. Shememba, as it says, zachar unikeva bira'am. Says the Gemara. Ha yesh lo banim. Okay, but let's say you do have children. Then, mipiria revia batel. And you can stop engaging in procreation. But ne'isha lo batel. You can't say, well, I have an obligation to have children. As soon as I have those children, great, I say to my wife, what do I want to say to her?
No more.
No, wait, no more. Goodbye, honey, see you later. Who needs a wife? Okay. You've done your duty, you've fulfilled your function. Seems rather harsh and crude, but why not? The whole point of getting married is to have children. You know, marriage is a big distraction. Isn't it? You don't want to.
That's
marry
why
there.
They don't let priests marry.
That's actually not why they don't let priests marry.
They want to be able to devote their lives to.
We're not going to get into Christian theology, but
can
we have this discussion of anyone?
Yes,
no.
We can.
Yeah, but you know, I have to devote my time to philanthropy and all that. Let her raise the children. I fulfill my mitzvah. I'll financially support her. All that. I don't want to be married. Says the Gemara. So therefore, you can be mevatel. You can get yourself children. But meisha lo batel. That you have to stay married. So that is a proof, a help proof to Rav Nachman in the name of Shmuel, who said to Amar, afa pishyesh to adam kama banim. Even though a person has numerous children. Asur la'amod below isha. He should not remain unmarried. Shenemar, as it says, lo tov hayosa adam levado. Right? It's not good for a person to be alone. Who said that, by the way? Anybody know who said that? God, right. Rabbanu Shlomo said that. Absolutely correct. So Rabbanu Shlomo knows what he did. He knows what he's doing. It's not good to be alone. So you shouldn't say, I'll be by myself. It's not good to be. A person should make an effort to find a mate. The Ikad Amre, some say, Hayesh Labanim. Not till the period of the Revia. Right now, then he could then get himself from the Revia. Ubatamamination doesn't have to get married either. Say, hey, name of God, it's Yufkid Rav Nachman Amashmol. So that would contradict what Rav Nachman Amashmol says. No. So now you have to reinterpret. Ein lo banim. If he has no children, no se isha bas banim. Then he should marry a woman who can bear children for him. But Yesh Labanim, if he already has children, no se isha delav bas banim. So you should marry a wife who doesn't necessarily need to have children. Meaning, it's your obligation. You have a commandment to procreate. If you already procreated, let's say, God forbid, a person's older, you know, later on in life, and got married and had children, and now, lo aleinu, God forbid, his wife died. So, on the one hand, he could say, well, my wife died, I don't feel like getting married anymore. On the other hand, he could say, I'm supposed to marry, I'm supposed to make an effort to remarry, and because the Torah says, lo tov hayosadam levado, fine. So, but you don't have to go out of your way and say, well, now I have to have children with this one, have children with that one. You had children, it's enough. Besides, you're, you know, 78 years old. I don't know if you should have a toddler on the running around anyway. Not a good idea. Okay, so, how many children, what's the halacha, how many children do you need to have, according to most opinions, in order to fulfill the mitzvah de oraita peru urubu?
More than one.
Which ones? What kinds?
Either boys, it says.
No, that was Beis Shammai.
One
boy and one girl. If you have one boy and one girl, you have fulfilled the commandment of Peru, Ru, be fruitful and multiply, and you're off the hook, right? And that's why all Jews only have one boy and two. What do they have now? 1.7 children on the average Jew? There's actually a fascinating Tosfos. The Tosfos says, Tim, it's not enough. Because if each Jew would only have two children, going by the statistics, that's the end of the Jewish people. And all you have to do, the Bali Tosfos said it 1,000 years ago. But you look at the Jews in America, and they only have 1.7 or 2.0, however many children the Jews have. It's not enough. It's not enough. Not enough to replenish ourselves. We are a vanishing breed. So there's also, in addition to the D'oraisa component, there's a D'rabbanan component as well, a rabbinic component. Okay, so what is the rabbinic component? This is in the lower Gemara. It says the Gemara, Givamos 62b. Let me see if we check in. Okay. Here we are. B'nei banim, harem kibanim. Shava Abai lemeimer. Abai says, "Bura livra ubarta libarta." You should have a son to your son, and a daughter to your daughter, and then you fulfill. And then, if your children are not alive anymore, then you still fulfill the commandment. But kol shekain bura libarta. Certainly, if you have a son to your daughter, abarta libra. But if a daughter to your son, no. Amalei Rabbi. Rabbi says, no. Lashaves yatsra ba'aya v'ha'ika. There's a commandment of that Lashaves Yatsura. There's an element of, I'm not sure I brought you the right piece here, but there's an actual element of, okay, that a person should have children later on in life. I think I brought the wrong piece. I scanned the wrong piece. Yeah, so let me read it to you. I have it here. The Gemara says, Hayu lo banim b'yadusa. You don't have this. If you had children when you were young, Yiyu lo banim b'ziknusa. Right? Now he'll have children when he's old. Shnemar says, B'bokez razarecha. Right? In the morning, you should sow your fields. Ula erev al tanach yadecha. In the evening, you should not allow your hand to rest. Meaning, even though you've already fulfilled your commandment to have children, nonetheless, the person should still continue to try to have children. Why? Ki eincha yodeh eze yikasher. You have no idea which children are going to end up being your best children, the way they put it out, your most successful children. Hazeh ozeh. This or that. The Ishneim Te'echad told him, and if they're both good, wonderful. So it says the Gemara, there's this concept of, I scanned the wrong piece, I have to fix that. The Gemara says there's a concept of, the Boker Zerazarecha, right, in the morning, meaning in the beginning of your marriage, you should have children, sow the field, as it were, Ule'ere, but in the evening, later on, Al Tanach Yadecha. Don't rest. That a person should continue to have children. So there's a rabbinic component of Erev Al Tanach Yadecha as well. So not only should you have children when you start, you should also have children when later on in life as well. So then the question becomes, okay, what's the question?
How many?
How many is enough? Okay, so we know that you're supposed to have a boy and a girl. Let's say for a couple had a boy and a girl. How many more children are they supposed to have? Okay, so somebody asked Rav Avinir this question. Okay, since I'm supposed to have children, okay, how many children should I have? After how many children should I stop having kids? So he says, okay, no one can ever decide that they've had enough children. And a person can decide and say, I'm not ready to have any more children, or I'm physically not able to, or something like that. But to say, I've had enough, that's enough children. Who are you to say that that's enough? Do you understand the difference between the two? You just never say, that's it, I've had enough. You might say, I can't have any more, I've reached my limit or whatever, but you shouldn't never say, I have enough. Okay? So he says, interesting, how long do you have to wait between having children? What if you had, so the first question is, what if you had, a child, a baby? How long do you have to, do you have to have another baby right away, or can you wait until you have a second child? And then I'll ask you another question. What if you had a boy and a girl? How long can you wait between that and the next child? So are those the two, the same questions or different questions? Why? What's the difference between them? The first question is a din of d'rabbanan, a recommendation of the rabbis that you shouldn't, you know, continue to have children. The second one is a din d'oraisa, right? A din d'oraisa. So Rabbi Abier explains. He says that you could take into the factors the following conditions. One, health of the mother. Right? It's not reasonable. Let's say a woman who has already fulfilled her obligation. She has four kids. She has four kids within, 7 years. Okay? She has four children, seven and under. She's tired. So because the Rabbana, the rabbi said, no, keep having children. You know, give her a break. Take it easy. You want to have children later on? Okay, fine. There's time. Two, he says, shalom bayit. What shalom bayit is between the husband and the wife. What if there's a disagreement? He doesn't want any more. She wants more. Right? Can you push off? Yes, he says. Okay? Bayot parnasa. Problems of parnasa. You don't know what parnasa is? You know what parnasa is? Money. Money. It's expensive to have children. So does the Torah require you to have more and more children if you feel that you're squeezed, you're tight? You know, be honest with you, it's very interesting because in the modern Orthodox world, they talk a lot, there's a lot of talk about day school tuition being a very effective form of birth control. And it's not a joke. It's not a joke at all. You know, we've got members in our shul that are paying $50,000-$60,000 a year tuition easy. Easy. And the young person looks at that and he says, I can't do it. How am I going to do it?
Is there ever a time that it was like this anywhere else?
Day school tuition? No, because kids were not expected to go to day school. You had kids and they went out and worked in the field.
It's a crazy situation.
Yeah. Yeah, and it becomes a factor, but it is very interesting. What's very interesting is the people that have, there are a lot of people that have more and more children, and they don't think about day school tuition. Now, is that irresponsible of them? I don't think so. I don't think so at all. I think that the Torah says it's a mitzvah to have as many children as you can. You'll notice, by the way, the people that I would call more religiously oriented, whether they're Haredi in America or in Israel, you go to Beit El or whatever, they're also popping out 9-10 children. You know what I'm saying? It's not just an American or black hat phenomenon. People that are more religiously oriented tend to have more children. And the people that are less religiously oriented, and this is obviously not a steadfast rule, it depends on situations and people and health and all that kind of stuff, that are I would say, concerned about finances and more concerned about living more comfortable lives, et cetera, they will have less children because of financial reasons. But it is a factor once you have fulfilled this commandment of Peru Revu. Okay? So he says there are different poskim. Somebody, if you would ask a poskim, how long should I wait? Even if I already had a boy and a girl. So some poskim would say you have to wait 2 years, some would wait 3 years, some would say up to 4 years. But don't go crazy. A person should never say, you know, I think the proper attitude would be to say, thank God I'm blessed. I've been blessed with the ability to fulfill this commandment. And I think a person should never say, I'm not having any more children. But when the time is right, we would be open to having another child. Okay? All right. Now, he says, next, what if you did not fulfill the commandment of Peru Revu? If you did not fulfill the commandment of procreation, you only have one boy. Can you make a distinction between times to have children? Can you wait to have children? Okay, so let's look at the Shulchan Aruch. Page number one. Okay, page number one. Let's look at the halacha for a second. The halacha says, Kevan Shiyesh Adam Zachar in the cave, that's what we spoke about. When the person has a boy and a girl, Kiyay Mitzvah Piriya Urviya. Okay, he's fulfilled the commandment of Peru Urvu. Those children must be capable of having their own children. Because the point of the mitzvah is to perpetuate the world. And if those children are unable, God forbid, to have their own children, then you do not fulfill your commandment of perpetuating the world. You have to go ahead and have another one.
How would you know?
Well, first of all, nowadays we would definitely know.
Well, when babies born, you have no idea.
Well, sometimes you would, sometimes you wouldn't, and well, later on. The question really is, are you being right? How would you know 20 years later?
Yeah.
Right. Okay.
And then 20 years later, there's right. a lot
then,
you can do about it.
Then you have the opposite.
If you're a man, you can.
Okay, maybe.
Then you have the
I mean, in today's right, society, right. you couldn't, but throughout much of Jewish history, you could. Right. You know, you find another wife.
Right. But you
okay.
have the opposite also.
Yeah.
Where a family, God forbid, has had some... Today, maybe it's not as prevalent anymore, but they can do the genetic testing.
Right.
But where, you know, they've had two Pesachs children, and that was the fact in your community in Washington.
Yeah.
Had two in a row.
That's a very serious thing.
You know,
that's another, but that's a totally separate
well,
issue.
I'm saying that's a, you know, but
that's do they continue? Well, then, many rabbis would say that they should do IVF, and they should test the embryos before they are implanted, inserted.
Today they can.
You could do that.
You couldn't do that.
Right.
Years.
I mean, the things that they can do today are absolutely unbelievable. I mean, just unbelievable. Okay, page 2.
Like in the
The reason they would have a lot of children is not because families wouldn't make it because of pogroms, usually. Families didn't make it because kids got sick. Right? I mean, you know, you look at the mortality rates of children throughout much of history. All right, Harriet, what were the mortality rates of children throughout much of history?
1 out of 10 getting to maturity.
1 out of 10?
I saw 70% in 1 out of 10.
70 dying?
Yeah, 70%.
Can you imagine? It's like, it's an unimaginable thing.
When they first came out,
it's just the way of life.
Lots and lots, so that one son would give this large inheritance. Oh, yeah.
Well, I saw a story once
that's incredible.
First came out with
Bible. It boggles your mind.
Yeah.
When they came out with Bible feeding, they didn't understand about germs.
Yeah.
So they never knew that you had to clean the tube. It wasn't like what we have today. They had like a bottle.
Right.
And they were just dropping babies right and left.
Okay.
In the United States in 1850.
Okay, so let's look at the Rambam. Let's look at the Rambam. Okay. Af al pi, page 2. Af al pi, shekiyayim adam mitzvah puria urviya. Even though a person fulfilled the commandment of being fruitful and multiply, says the Rambam, hareyu mitzvah mizivrei shofrim. He's commanded from the rabbis, shelo yevatel nilifos ulirbos kol zman sheyesh bo koach. He shouldn't say, I'm not going to have any more children as long as he is able. Now, obviously, today, since you only allowed one wife, you know, as long as the wife can have children, great. But beyond that, I think you're off the hook. Okay? Shekol ha-mosif nefesh achas b'Yisrael. Because anyone who adds even one soul in the Jewish people, ke'ilu bana olam, as if he built the whole world. So the rabbi said, okay, the Torah commands you have a boy and a girl. That's an obligation. What about opportunity? What about the ability to build worlds, to create? So you shouldn't negate that possibility as well. Okay? V'chein, furthermore, mitzvah chachamim, it's a commandment to the rabbi, shelo yeshev adam below isha. Person shouldn't be without a wife. Shelo yavolei dehi hur, right, that he shouldn't be tempted and he should have a normal life. Velo teshev isha below isha, and a woman shouldn't remain a spinster. Shelo techashed, she should not be suspected of acting inappropriately as well. I mean, obviously this is considered intentionally. A woman should not intentionally say, I don't want to get married. Right, and that she should make an attempt to get married as well. So now, what about delaying? It's very interesting. Ha'isha she hears shas as ba'ala achar nisuin she yimna onasa. Or say a woman says, you know, when a couple gets married, the obligation of marital relations is it falls upon the husband. Right, he is obligated to have marital relations with his wife. So what if a woman says, dear, you're off the hook. Yeah, once a year is enough for me. Right, so. And he says, fine, for whatever reason. I think they probably nowadays would need to see a therapist, but that's another issue entirely. Okay, but in that situation, she says, you know, I don't feel like getting pregnant anymore. You can leave me alone. I'm okay. I'm good. And I don't have any more children. All right, can she say this?
Yeah, she can.
She can.
Right. It's not her deal. Correct. If she doesn't feel like having children, I've never gone through it, but it seems pretty, what's the word? All-encompassing.
Can he divorce her?
No, 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 no. She permitted him. You know, I mean, if she refuses,
yes.
Probably. But then we're not talking about refusal. He says, you know, I don't really want to have any more kids. And she says, I don't either. You know what? We'll abstain. You know, unfortunately, there are such couples that don't have physical relationships. They stop having physical relationships. They just remain married. Hareza mutter. It's permitted. When? The medvarim amurim. When is this true? Bishahayu lo banim. And you already had children. Why? Shikrakiye mitzvah piriya reviyah, because you already fulfilled the obligation. But avalokien, if you did not fulfill the mitzvah, you did not have a boy and a girl. Chayav libo b'chol ona asiyu lebanim. Then you have your obligation to be with your wife until you have created the children and say that you have that you are obligated to create. Why? Because it is a positive member from the Torah, as it is written, peru uruvu.
So from the words peru uruvu, they get a boy and a girl?
Yes. Peru uruvu, because Beis Shammai says, right? It says, that's exactly what the Gemara says. Peru uruvu, I got to find my sheet again. I lost page number one in my sheet. Here we are, I got it. Peru uruvu, zachar unikeva bira'an. That God created children, he created man, zachar unikeva. That's how we created them. So just like Yad created the first people, male and female, so too, everyone else should be male and female as well. Now, very interesting question is, now let me go back to my page two. A very interesting question. Probably should have put this in order. I did have it in order at some point. Oh, here we go. Very interesting question comes up. So we learned, if they did not have children, how long do they have to wait? So one of the things that rabbis have come out with nowadays is, in the times of the Gemara, it was almost foolproof that if a woman was nursing, she wouldn't conceive. It's not so foolproof anymore. But apparently in those times, if a woman was nursing, she would not conceive. How long would it be reasonable for a woman to nurse?
2 years, 2 or 3 years.
At least 2 or 3 years. Right. So many rabbis today are lenient up to 2 years to spread out children, that even if you haven't fulfilled the commandment yet, to be allowed to wait 2 years, you know, just to let the poor woman catch her breath a little bit. And that there's no obligation. Sometimes you see, you know, these families just having child after child after child. And so what we should understand, that's very nice for them. But most rabbis would say you're not obligated to do that. You're not obligated. There's no obligation to have child after child after child. That, you know, it's reasonable, and that God built that into the system, that a woman could have a decent number of children, not that many children. Okay. 1 second. Sometimes there are other factors, obviously. There are the factors that would compel a couple not to have children. Not to have, you know, the children right after one after another, for example, if there were health issues. But they would have to be, if they haven't fulfilled the mitzvah yet, there would have to be more serious issues than just we want to wait. Another example would be, let's say, and many know people like this, 5 boys in a row. Right? They had 5, anybody with 5 boys?
Wait,
huh?
Said
he had
7.
No, in a row.
Oh, yeah, yes,
everybody does. My Rebbe in Israel had 7 boys, I think maybe even 8 boys in a row. Oh, another boy, mazel tov, you know, very nice, lovely. Some didn't fulfill the mitzvah. And he got to the mitzvah, but a poor mother could say, I need a break, I have 8 children. You know, he has all girls?
Seven girls.
Did he ever have a boy?
I don't think so.
Well, you tried. You know, you try, you do your best. Baruch Shalom gives you. Cannot hurt. So this is a factor. So then, of course, the Rabbanim will be more lenient. It's, you know, the wife needs a break. If there's a health problem, if there's a mental issue, things of that nature. Now this comes up a lot. So he says, is it possible for a person to delay having children right after they get married? This is a very, very common issue that comes up more often in modern Orthodox families than non-modern Orthodox families. And the general answer is absolutely not. Unless there is some kind of, outstanding factor that is really, really strong. Rabbi Avinir writes, he says, I'll just read you his language. He says, "Bevadaisha ba'opan zeh ein heter klal." He says, I don't think there's any leniency at all. He says, why did you get married? You got married to have children. And one of the reasons that God created the institution of marriage is that a man and wife should unite together for the purpose of procreation. It isn't just to have fun. You know, it's a conception today that people, oh yeah, well we want to spend a couple of years getting to know each other before we're ready to have children. So the halachic answer to that would be, response would be?
Don't get married.
Right. If you're really not sure, don't get married. Now, there are times where couples have issues from the outset. And I've heard of these situations where it's better for them not to have children, see if they're going to be able to work things out. I know it's sad, isn't it? There are such times. But under most normal circumstances, couples say, well, you know what, we don't want to be bogged down with children right away. Oh, you don't want to be bogged down with children? Great. Don't get married. Right? Or we're not sure we can afford to have children married. We want to finish our schooling. Thank God that people have the ability to get married and they get married young. And if they're serious about doing their schooling, they're serious about following through, and then the people who are serious about it do find a way to even if they have a child, do find a way to continue and to persevere and get their schooling done. You know, and my brother, he's in medical school. He has two daughters now. So he's in medical school, and his wife is working, and they struggle. It's very hard. But they feel that this is their obligation, and it's a blessing that they have. And please God, I'll be able to get through it. And my brother in Baltimore. I have a few brothers. So the answer to that general question is, don't do it. If you don't feel that you know each other well enough, or you need to spend time with each other, good. Maybe we shouldn't have the wedding right away. You know, but or you want to enjoy, or yeah.
Is it wrong?
Oh, yes, it's wrong.
It's wrong.
Yes. Because it's a mitzvah de oraisa, it's a bitul asa. It's saying, I don't want to put on tefillin today. I'll put on in a year. Right? You have an obligation. You wouldn't say that, such a thing.
Okay.
Well, why should I be bogged down with tefillin? You know, I really want to enjoy myself. It's exactly the same. So we wouldn't. Hopefully, a person wouldn't say such a thing. But this is a mitzvah as well, and there's no rabbinic heter for doing such. A lot of people do a lot of things. Doesn't make it right. Yes.
What about the situation we talked about where they decide right before getting married, everything's been signed, but they decide they don't want to get married, and it's better to get married and then divorced, etc.
Oh, you mean the Bedekin thing?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So that's what we don't. I mean the Tanaim. That's what we don't do Tanaim. It was very strange, the whole Tanaim thing.
Yeah, because then,
correct. It was very strange.
Said, just get married.
Consummate the wedding, have a child. No, that wasn't the point. Right.
What?
Correct. That whole thing was so unusual about the curse that attached to them. Do you understand what I'm saying? Which is one of the reasons why we don't really do real Tanaim anymore. And many rabbis question against it because why do you want to start with that? You know, it's not really relevant in our day and time anymore anyway. So that's why we don't do such things. Okay, so that's the first issue. The first issue is delaying having children. The mitzvah peru revu, whether it's from the oraisa, Torah element, or from a rabbinic element. But now we come to the second question. The second question is not whether yes you can do it or no you can't do it. The question is how. Because there are certain prohibitions attached to preventing you from having children. So what are these prohibitions and how do we address them? So I'm just gonna I'm gonna show you just how involved this gets and how complicated it gets, and then give you some general principles. And these are, again, I repeat, not for proskening at all. This is really a more informational class, so you'll just have an understanding of what the issues are that come up and how they relate. So the first issue is hotzas zera levatala, wasting seed. Okay? So and obviously one could imagine that there are certain forms of birth control or contraception or preventing conception, right? That are wasting seed, and we'll see what they are. So it says the Rambam, I'm going to read the Rambam, the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch, and the Shulchan Aruch on this. One second. Part of the Shulchan Aruch. Okay? Asher lehotzi shechva zera levatala. Okay? It is prohibited for a man to waste his seed. And we're going to see just how prohibited in a second. Lefikach, therefore, Lo yiya adam dash mibifnim bezorah mibachutz. Dash mibifnim bezorah mibachutz means to thresh on the inside and winnow on the outside, which means to have intercourse, but at the climax of the intercourse, not to inseminate the female. Okay? Velo yisa kitana shein riyalele. Moreover, for other reasons also, you're not allowed to marry a woman who can't give birth a child, but you also may not be with a child who can't give birth, who can't have children. Those people who cause themselves to waste seed with their hand, and bring out seed, it's not enough that this is a great prohibition. A person who does such a thing is in nidui, is in excommunication. Va'aleihem nemar, and about it it says, Yedechem damim maleu. Your hands are full of blood. Ukihilo harag nefesh. It's as if you killed someone. Okay? Next, kitzur shachanara, just so you get the point of how strongly emphasized this is. Okay? Kitzur shachanara, chapter 151. Same thing. A person is not permitted to waste spill seed. Well, this is even more. This sin, chamer mikol aveiros shebetorah. It is more stringent than any prohibition in the Torah. Ve'elu shemenachem b'yad, and now the same language. Those who do such things with their hands, motzin zeh levatala, and emit seed wastefully. Lo dar lahem, she is a gadol who. It's not enough that it's a great prohibition. Elo she'ozer those who be nidui. The person who does this is in nidui, in excommunication. Va'aleihem ne'amar, and about them it says, yedechem damim maleu, akiyu horeg es hanefesh, if you killed someone. Urei mashikasa, the kisser adds the following. Urei mashikasa, Rashi, v'parchas v'yeshem, be'er v'onei. Go look up in Bereshis. Who are Er and Onei? Anybody know? Yehuda's first two sons, right? So what did the Torah say? They died. Bishmei Hashem. They angered God. How did they anger God? Rashi says, Shemetu b'chedze. They were dush, milifnim, b'zor, b'chud. That Tamar was so beautiful, they were afraid that if she would have children, she'd never be as pretty. She wouldn't, you know, lose the baby weight or whatever, you know. It's the last 5 pounds.
She wouldn't get her figure back.
That's right. They were afraid of that. So they were dush, milifnim, b'zor, b'chud. They committed that act, that they cohabitated with her when they were married, but they refused to impregnate her. And when he says, sometimes with this sin, banav meitim, a person's children die, kishayim when they're young, oshiyu rishayim, or his children will be evil, v'ubali dayanius, and will bring him to poverty. I just included that section so you understand, right? This is something they scare us to do in yeshiva all the time. They read this scripture. That's pretty harsh. It's not. The Torah is unequivocal about this prohibition. And I must say, I will digress for a moment, with some level of sympathy. The images that our children and that we are bombarded with on a daily, almost momentary basis. I think I heard a report this morning. The average child, it was unrelated, sees 3,000 advertisements a day. I'm not sure how that's possible, but that's what they say. 3,000 advertisements a day. And if you think, drive to work tomorrow, count how many, you don't drive to where you go here, count how many ads, billboards, logos you see on an average day. It's a ton. Yeah. Now, if I ask you, how many sexual images do you see on an average day?
That doesn't even count pop-ups.
Well, hopefully you turned on your pop-up blocker. You know, online. Online is another issue entirely. You know, and then you say, you know what I'm saying? So it's one thing living in the shtetl before the internet, before television, before any of these things. It was hard enough. And you see what the kids wrote. I mean, like, it's very, very challenging. Really challenging to educate. Our children in an environment and raise children in an environment where that's so sexualized and so highly charged that they don't that they're not tempted by these urges. It's very, very challenging. Nonetheless, the Torah is the Torah. And one gets a sense that there's a spiritual, the Chazal understood that there's a spiritual component to this idea of seed, of zera, of male seed, and that there's a strong spiritual component to it. And it's not yours to play with, to mess around with. That's there for a purpose, and it should be used for that purpose. Okay? And so that's a problem. Now, obviously, this problem comes up in contraception as well. Why? Turn to page 3. Says the Shulchan Aruch. This is actually Shulchan Aruch was based on a tshuva of the Ribash, I think. I don't remember if it was the Ribash or somebody else. Eben Ezer, top Shulchan Aruch, Eben Ezer 23. Isha Sheyeshla Otem Berechem. If a woman would put a ring around her womb, around the cervix, the canal, right? Okay. La Yedei Ken, and through this process, Kishabala Mishamesh Ima, when her husband lives with her, Zorea Mibachutz, okay, which means he's not. he is not capable of impregnating her, usher. Okay? It is prohibited. Now, this is not to say, okay? This is not to say, he says, Habal, this is the Ramah adds, Mutil Lashamish in Kitana of Ayolinis, a person, let's say a woman can't have children. So you say, okay, if she can't have children, if there's no possibility of procreation, then maybe cohabitation is prohibited. He says, that's not true. Why? It's permitted. Hoel Umhishamish Kiderech Ha'eretz. If there's normal intercourse and the normal way of things, that's permitted. So where is the fine line between something that would be considered a barrier that would be prohibited and something that would be permitted because it's the normal way of things? So that's why you have rabbis. I'm just highlighting to you. I'm highlighting to you this. You understand how it becomes a very, very subtle issue. Because now, thanks to technology, right, there are many, many, many options to prevent pregnancy. Many, many ones. So let me just give you the general hierarchy of how things go, and we'll discuss some of them, how they're related as well. Okay, finally, let's look at a couple more. Next issue, shimush b'moch. Moch is a sponge. Okay? Says the Gemara. Tani Rabibi, this is Kamei du Rav Nachman. I'm going to go flying through these issues. I'm just getting the general highlights. Said Rabibi in the name of Rav Nachman. Shalosh nashi misham shos b'moch. There are three types of women who are permitted to have intercourse with this moch. A moch is a sponge. Now, it's unclear, by the way, what exactly this sponge is and how it was used. Very, very unclear, and it's the topic of major debate that has huge ramifications for practical applications. First one, who are they? Kitana, a girl who is underage. It was not prohibited at their times. Mu'uberet, a woman who's pregnant. Umenika, and a woman who is nursing. Kitana, why? Why are they underage? Shematit aber b'shematamut. Because they believed that if a girl became pregnant when she was underage, it could be deadly for her. Mu'uberet, if a woman's pregnant. Shematase ubra shando. Maybe it will damage her baby, right? By the way, now medicine says exactly the opposite. So it says. Meinika, if a woman is nursing, shematigmo benavi amus. Maybe if she becomes pregnant, she will no longer be able to nurse, and the child will die. So in all of these three cases, a woman was permitted to be mishameshet b'moch, to use this sponge to prevent herself from becoming pregnant. Which means that, why? Because there were serious ramifications if she would become pregnant. So now the Gemara explains down. We'll go down for a second. Dibre Rabbi Meir, three lines on the bottom. V'chachamim omim, the rabbi said, achadzu, v'achadzu, every one of these cases, mishameshet kidarcha b'holechet. She may not use a sponge. Why? U'minashamayim yirachamu. And God should have mercy. Shenamar, as it is written, Shomer Psayim Hashem. You know what the word Shomer Psayim Hashem means? God is the guard of fools. The guard of fools. Right? I'll give you a good example. When people used to smoke, so until they finally concluded that smoking was really dangerous, and all the rabbis came out probably this year, I don't know what took them so long, and said, smoking is aser. So Rav Moshe Feinstein asked the tshuva, they asked Rav Moshe, and Rav Moshe wrote in his tshuva, he says, you shouldn't do it, it's terrible, absolutely shouldn't do it. I can't say it's aser. Too many people do it. Shomer Psayim Hashem. God guards over the fools. You know? Not necessarily a good idea, but God guards over the fools. God watches over the fools. So we see, though, there's this prohibition, according to the rabbis, of being mishameshet b'moch, using a device that causes a blockage to prevent impregnation. So the question is the following. Does mishameshet b'moch mean either A, that it was inserted into the woman in order to prevent the sperm from entering, or other rabbis feel that the sponge was used after intercourse in order to draw out the seed so that she wouldn't become pregnant. And it was effective. Apparently that it was effective if they were discussing it as a means of birth control. So you can see, by the way, how those two things would have greatly different ramifications for modern applications of birth control today. Is it, on the one hand, a blocking agent, or on the one hand, a removal, a prevention agent afterwards that the rabbis were against? So I'm just telling you, I'm giving you this example just so you know that this is an example and it's an issue. Third issue, sterilization. Okay? What's sterilization? So you should just know. Hold on a second. I don't know if I gave you the source. Yes, I did. Skip to page 4 for a second, okay? Heaven as a helpful spirit of Rudia. This is an absolute prohibition. Isur, it is prohibited lahasid a barei hazara. To remove, to sterilize, to remove the limbs of procreation. Bein ba'adam, bein ba'behema, chaya va'of. Whether it's humans, or animals, or birds, echad tamein v'echad tahor. So, and it isn't really an issue. One is not really permitted to have their dog fixed.
Right,
he wants to have, you're not allowed, you're really not allowed. Now, people use loopholes, I'll just tell you. They sell it to a guy, and they give it to somebody else, and whatever. But according to the Torah, you're not permitted to do that. So, what's another thing? If you do this, it is really a challenge to be a vet and be a firm vet. Half of their job is doing these things. It is a big, big problem. Not simple at all. I don't want to, you know, no problem. Okay?
But is this just males?
What?
Are you just talking about males?
It's a machlokes whether. Males, also d'oraisa. Females, either maybe d'rabanan, some opinions say it's a d'oraisa. Clearly not allowed. Prohibited. Okay? So therefore, let's say a couple nowadays decides they don't want to have any more children. What is the quickest, most effective, most cost-effective way of preventing from having children? That's right. Except, it's totally usher. There is almost no manageable circumstance under which that would be permitted. There's always other options that are out there. You know, even if you have the most extreme of circumstances, sterilization is a problem. What about temporary sterilization? What if I could figure out a way that I could become sterilized only temporarily? I could prevent myself from having children only temporarily. Would that be permitted?
They're developing a pill now for males.
Ah, right. What about women?
Women's
birth control pills are a form of temporary sterilization.
Yes.
So does that count under this prohibition?
I don't know.
Nope. No, it doesn't. It's the temporary.
Because
it's temporary. Because it's not long-lasting. It only lasts a certain period of time, and then it goes away. Let's skip down to Yud Beis.
It's always
three lines in the bottom. For a woman to take, well, yeah. We'll see in a second. Yud Beis. 12. Hamashia Koshel Ikrin. Let's say I have this potion, this cup of poison or whatever. The Adam for a person or the Shar Balechayim Kidei L'Sarso, and that will sterilize you. Harei Ze Aser Ve'Ein Lofin Alef. For a male, it's prohibited rabbinically. But there's no machus, it's not deraisa. U'isha muteres lishtos ikrin kidei lisarsa ad shalotele. A woman is permitted to take this pill. Apparently they had it, to take this pill in order to prevent herself from conceiving. And the Gemara tells, and we'll skip it, but the Gemara tells a story of the daughter, Rabbi Chiya's daughter, right, who had a child, and it was very painful. It was a difficult childhood for her. So she said to herself, oh, I'm not doing that again. I bet you was the wife of Rabbi Chiya. Okay? It's interesting. Well, let's read it. I'll just say, read the case. Page 3, back on page 3. Yehudis debited Rabbi Chiya. This wife of Rabbi Chiya, how will they char leda? She had a lot of trouble giving birth. Shinoi mana, the asa the kamei to Rabbi Chiya. So she changed her clothes. She dressed up, meaning she costumed herself, and came to him and she said, Ramra, you just have me fucked up, period of Rabbiya. So she said, hey, Rabbi, does a woman have to have children? You know, like she's faking it. She gets some other voice. I'm a lolo. My dear, you don't know how to have children. So what did she do? Azla, Ishtaya Samudah Akarta. They had this stuff, this potion. She drank it. She became sterile. The soul is Lai Milta. So then he found out who she was and what she did. I'm a lolo. She had two sets of twins. So he said, halavai that you had just given me another set of twins. You know, one more. He understood. He gave the right halacha, but his wife, he wasn't so happy about it. Okay, so now that we know that these are the issues, the issue is putting off, delaying procreation. So let's say a person has a boy and a girl, and they're not ready to have kids right away. You know, they want to wait 2 years to have another child. Okay, usually that's permitted. So now we need to know, now that we know what the factors are of sterilization and wasting seed and also using a sponge, preventing the flow, having a blockage. So those are the three factors. So then what are the optimal forms of birth control? So the optimal form of birth control almost always is?
Pill.
Right.
Pill.
A pill. Why? Because what the pill does is do either hormonal, first of all, it's temporary. So it is not sterilization. Second of all, there's no blockage. There's normal intercourse in the proper way. And there's also no wasting of seed, remember we said? So under older, it doesn't prevent, so the only issue with the pill is, are you permitted to take it in the first place? Are you allowed to push off?
You could say, are you allowed to push off? Your wife can't get pregnant is wasting of seed.
No, no wife. Rabbi said that. No. So let's say if a woman's pregnant, is intercourse permitted? Yes. Why? She can't get pregnant again. But after a woman has gone through menopause, you know, husband and wife are obligated to be with each other still. So it's not only for procreation. You understand what I'm saying? Okay. 1 second. Okay. So pills or some kind of hormonal therapy is the first choice. Now, I just saw, I saw on Fox News that they're coming out with a male pill. They think they figured it out. So that is worse. Because remember we said that even temporarily it's worse for the male than it is for the female. And as of this writing, it was all temporary. Second level, the second best thing for a person to use, if once it's already been permitted by their rabbi, is, anybody know?
The after.
No.
No?
No,
that's bad. The after pill?
Well, that's like the rabbi's wife.
No, she prevented herself from having it, not after. No, she didn't have to take the day after pill is to miscarry if you conceive.
It
prevents implantation.
Really?
Yeah.
Yes.
That's what
the fertilization may have taken place, but it prevents the implantation of it.
I couldn't answer that. I'm not
well,
answering
I'm
that.
Just,
that's a great question.
Yeah.
Okay. Second best on the list is what's called an IUD. Remember what an IUD is? It's called an intrauterine device. Intrauterine device is a device that's inserted into the uterus, and they're not really sure why it works.
It prevents implantation.
Why?
It
doesn't stop it. It's not a blocking agent. They think that since there's a foreign object in the uterus, that the body just doesn't let a woman conceive because it's not ideal situation for a child to develop. Right? Something like that? No? That's not what they think?
No, it stops the implantation.
Why? How?
It, for some reason...
those are those words.
No,
there you go.
The inside of the uterus is being irritated and therefore will not take an implantation.
Right, it's an irritation. Correct, it's an irritation.
Right.
It's an irritant.
But it's the same as the day after pill, which also prevents implantation.
Okay, and then the third best thing are what's called spermicides. You'll say spermicide kills sperm. No, it does not. It does not kill the sperm. What it does is it renders it immobile.
Depends on the kind of sperm.
And the modern ones, the more modern ones, because you don't want to put something that's, how should we say this, poisonous or dangerous inside a woman's body anyway. So they've developed these much more sophisticated spermicides now. Okay, and then obviously all the questions that come out from this, they emanate from all of these issues. So again, as we wrap up, I just want to point out that this was not a halacha lemaaseh this year, but it does raise a sense of awareness of what the issues are when it comes to family planning. And it is in the process of the life cycle. That is, a couple, when they get married, they should not plan on, you know, it's interesting because modern couples, they get married and they say, oh, well, you know, we'll develop our careers and we'll enjoy life and we'll go on vacations. And then when they're 33, 34, they decide we want to have children. There's only one problem. Yeah, who says it's so easy? It's not so easy. You know,
a lot of stories about that.
And in addition, there's that spiritual element as well, that the Torah says that one of the primary reasons we marry is to have children. Excuse me, and that's our greatest privilege. And so now that we understand that, then a person can understand even more strongly what the issues are when issues come up for people when they need to push off having children, and what the issues are in deciding what forms of control, birth control, to use when they're deciding whether to have children or not. I just want to share with you this book called Nishman Avraham. It was written in Hebrew by Rabbi Dr. Abraham S. Abraham. It was really written in Hebrew. And he basically writes a commentary on the Shulchan Aruch of modern medical halacha according to the Piskei Halacha of Shlomo Zalman Orbach. He's alive today, Rabbi Dr. Abraham. He lives in Yerushalayim, works at Shari Tzedek Hospital. And anytime anything came up, right? He would go ask Rosh Hashanah about it. And he wrote this unbelievable book, which is very informative. He's extremely strict, I must say. I mean, he's pretty strict. But he just starts on contraception. If you're interested in reading it, it goes through all these things, oral contraceptions, you know, different things, different types of vasectomies, et cetera, having sick children. And he goes through it. You can see there's, I mean, just even in his book, there's 15 pages. There are books and books and volumes on this issue. You could give series and series on the nuance and the details of this halachic issue. And I can't stress strongly enough that if ever a practical issue would come up for anybody here or anybody listening, you have to talk to your rabbi. Because each case is individual, each case has its own special factors and issues, and it should be discussed with a competent halachic authority. Okay? I'm going to read everybody.